Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. We're currently in our series, Venus and Mars. Stay tuned for this week's message.
Not only do we look after young marrieds and young families at our church, but we're also just about to launch looking after the demographic of families with teenagers. And the reason, there's a couple of reasons for this, but one of them is there's a whole lot of education that's needed around dating. For parents to be able to help their children, but also for teenagers to be able to get an understanding so as they emerge into dating in the future, that they're empowered. And so therefore we put together a course that we're writing called Dating for Destiny. We're passionate about this because we're in a world where dating and the concept of dating has gone skew-iff. If we were to look at what dating means from maybe the movie world or the fantasy world, we can look at the concept of Cinderella losing a slipper. Prince Charming comes running in, scoops her up, and that's how it looks. Then we look at it from the media and the way that that shapes dating. And we can see things like the search for love and dating is a means to an end. Love is a feeling, not a choice. Love comes and then it goes. Love means being together. Marry and stay together for as long as it lasts. Love may occur later after a period of time of having sex. And dating is a stomping ground ready to claim your next infatuation. You see, the thing is, dating is so much more than that. Dating is not about claiming for a one-night experience. Dating is not about hooking up and hoping that maybe after being close together far too quickly, that maybe that person is right. You see, God's plan for dating, for those that choose to want to be married, is that dating is a time of developing a deeper understanding of a person of the opposite sex, seeking godly confirmation and blessing for future unity and partnership. You see, Peter and I were never taught how to date. We grew up in a denomination, we didn't get a lot of teaching around dating. And so therefore our understanding was very limited. And interestingly enough, we stumbled along the way, got married, and we've learnt a lot since then. And as we've learned, we've decided our passion is to teach, our passion is to mentor young adults, and also inspire and empower our own children. When we look at Romans 12, 1 verses 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've used this scripture all weekend because we're passionate about it. To conform is to correspond in form or character, be similar. To transform is to change markedly the appearance of. I believe, and Peter and I stand with this in agreement, that the church is to show what dating and relationship is all about. It's a godly union. It's something that you step forward in with boundaries around it, where there's accountability. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We believe that you launch into that with dating, that there is a future and a hope, that God has plans for you, that you, before you were even born, were conceived and you were destined, that you were destined, that you are a woman and a man of God, that it is not just a happened to fall into a relationship. I was destined to be with Peter. I mean, we didn't know how to go about it. But I was destined to be with him. And by the grace of God, even though we didn't understand all the principles, God blessed us as we have continued with him. He's forged us in his way. To the point that with dating, we do dating in marriage. You see, dating is not just for single people. Dating is also for marriage. You know, too many times marriages can hit a place where the romance and where the fun and where the excitement has gone. And all it is that you need to plan time to spend time with the one that you love. I count down to Friday night. My students, I'm a teacher, and my students know tonight I'm going out with my man. And they get excited for me. They get excited for me. They're like, woo! Because I'm like, I love Friday night. We plan accordingly. We plan for fun, and it doesn't have to be anything big. It can just be hanging together purposely. Loving being together. So, who do you date? Proverbs 19, verse 2. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. You see, it's about getting a godly understanding of how to approach dating. That's what the Bible's for. It's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of understanding, a wealth of life, words that speak direction, Holy Spirit that teaches us. So first thing with dating that we address is, what are you searching for? You see, God gave me a revelation once when I was running. God has unique timing. And as I was running, I saw a young couple, and when I say young, I mean probably 14, hiding behind trees outside a house. Clearly they didn't want one of their parents to see. And they were embraced together in a way that was so incredibly intimate. And right at that moment, God said to me, you know, they are searching to fill their heart with something, and they don't know what they're searching for, and they think it's in the opposite sex. But first, it must be me. First, it must be me. You see, that's why we see a longing and a needing and trying to fill something that was always meant to be filled by Christ. You see, and once that happens, then you get a kingdom perspective. You see, then you're looking with eyes to see. You're looking with kingdom ears, where God speaks to you, speaks to your heart, and directs you in the right way. You see, for me, all I knew was, God, send me the strongest man you can find. Send me a warrior. Send me a man that I can stand by, that I can live life with. And he did. He did. He was true to his promises. It says in Psalms 31:14, but as for me, I will trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. It literally is putting it in God's hands. Putting it in God's hands. I did not expect to marry Peter. We were best friends for many, many years, for 3 years. And I was marrying, I'm from Melbourne, I was marrying an Italian or a Greek. I had prepped that in my head. I was thinking, I don't know why, it's the way I grew up. And I was like, I've got to learn how to cook, and I want to be the ultimate wife. I had this vision that was so skewered. And Peter was definitely not attracted to me. He loved girls with brown hair. But guess what? Guess what? Is that we fell for each other because God had destined us to be together. Destined us. We had a friendship. We had a friendship, and that is incredibly important. Someone you can have fun with. Looking at, very quickly, does he or she honour parents and siblings? Really good checklist. This is just a very quick checklist because I'm about to pass on. Is Christ focused within that person? Is there fruit in their life? Have they got baggage that needs to be sorted out, that needs to be put to God, that needs to be worked through? Are they accountable to their parents, leaders, mentors? Are you looking to date your ministry? Because your ministry is separate from your dating. You might be there to rescue the lost, but it doesn't mean to say you marry the lost. Okay? So you are looking for your destined person.
So how do you date? That's the question. When we were dating, it was out of fear, right? It was purely out of fear because we didn't have sex before we got married because, not because I loved Jesus, but because I was dead scared of my father and he would have killed me. So is that the correct way to date? And the answer is no. And when we changed churches 8 years ago, which we've been talking about this weekend, I asked the senior pastor, I said, how do I get my kids to grow up and love Jesus and marry well? And he said, you don't have to worry about dating. As long as they love Jesus more than anybody else, they'll find somebody who loves Jesus as much as them. Right? And he said, and because they love Jesus and have a revelation of that, they'll do dating well. Then they'll marry well and then they will live well. The problem that we have is that if we read in Colossians 3 verse 2, we read, set your mind on the things above and not on the things of earth. And it's so easy to, and as Ainsley was talking about it, you know, what is filling that gap that's inside us? And when we're dating, often we want to fill it up with somebody else. And you know, some people say a half a person plus a half a person equals a whole person. And that's what marriage is about. But my mathematics is half times a half equals a quarter of a relationship. Two half and broken people will equal a quarter of a relationship. You need a whole person times a whole person to have a whole relationship. So when you're dating, this is a time that if you've got stuff to sort out, sort it out. So that when you get to the wedding day, it's all done and dusted. You're sitting in a place before God where you've left everything at the cross, and that day is just a day of victory. You're now victors in Christ, standing before Christ, being holy matrimony, and what a way to start a wedding. What a way to start a marriage. What a way to start a life. The thing is, we've been preaching, this is my, you know, I'm into idols, okay? It's one of the revelations I got back on the 7th of February 2005. God can't bless your idol. If your date is your idol, it's not going to work, right? If your idol is your identity and you just need a good-looking spouse and that's why you're going out with her or him, it ain't going to work. Because look at me, we've been married 23 years. I didn't look like this 23 years ago, okay? Ainsley did. She's still beautiful, so I'm blessed. But for her, she had to marry her heart. So that's good. She had to look beyond my looks. John Calvin said, the heart is a factory of idols. And we've got to be careful who we choose and why we choose. And because if we choose badly, God can still redeem that. God can still redeem that. But it's just hard work. Why do it the hard way? Why not live life the easy way? And the easy way is the God way. You know what I mean? Because if we do it well and we select well and we choose well, we will live well. The problem is, too many of us from time to time have made that poor choice. And I'm saying here today, if you think you've done that, God can fix that. And we can work through all that. And, you know, we look at the idols that we serve. And Martin Luther King said, if we break the first commandment, we commit idolatry, which is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and all thy might. If we love God, then we will love dating well. We have idols of time, service, identity, possessions, relationship, and sexual intimacy. God says that dating is a time to develop godly values, prayer, and ministry while setting a solid foundation of partnership for our destiny. All of us have a destiny in Christ. When we marry well, we'll marry somebody who's on the same path, on the same journey, in the same destiny. I can say that with Ainsley and I, we are united in our cause for the cause of Christ. We have always been that way. There's never been a contention between us on where we need to be in Christ. And that is an absolute blessing for us. And that's why I say to people who are dating, date somebody who's in your destiny. Because two people come together, 1,000 will fall with one, but 10,000 will fall with two. When we unite together in matrimony, in the same destiny, the thing that the devil hates about it is because out of it will come generations of Christians, generations for the cause. That's why he doesn't want people to be together well. He wants to prevent us from reaching our true destiny in Christ. He wants to prevent us from being limitless in the things of Christ. Did you know there's 7 billion people in the world today? There's 2.3 billion Christians. The answer is two. If every Christian was to disciple two people, the whole world would be taken for Christ. That's sad, isn't it? But look at us. We're working hard to find the lost. It's because Christians aren't doing what Christians are meant to do, reflect Christ. And that's why Satan has targeted us, particularly in the area of dating, to limit us. We read in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right for a man, but at the end is the way of death. The things that we need to avoid in dating is isolation, separating ourselves from the house of God, and our private time only leads to difficulty. We need to be connected to the church. We need to be accountable to somebody or some people. We've got to look at our control. Are we controlling our date? Are we trying to move them the way we want them to move, making them make choices and worship our idols maybe? We need to focus on what Christ has for us. Finding our identity in our partner. As I said before, two halves don't make a whole. Another one is pornography, which I'll just touch briefly, is if it's in there, get rid of it, because it's only going to destroy what beauty God has for us. And the last one is obviously inappropriate intimacy. We read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, so this is 2:22. So flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with all those who are called to the Lord with a pure heart. Flee the youthful lusts. You think God's out there being a party pooper? Do you think he says, I don't want you to have sex before you're married, just because he wants to be a downer? No, he says, I want you to have an amazing life. I want you to just be so blessed. Just do it the way I ask and you will be. When we short circuit that, we rob ourselves of what God had purposed in his creation. We read also in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 and 5, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that is, each of you know how to control your own body in holiness and honour, not to the passions of the lust, like the Gentiles that do not know God. We need boundaries in dating. The greatest area of difficulty in dating is the subject of intimacy, obviously, and that's accountability and that mentoring that we need. Because sex is the one thing that separates a married couple, well, technically with God's way, separates that relationship from any other relationship you'll ever have. It's the one thing that should be with one person, and it separates it from everybody else. And God's plan is because it's biological as well as spiritual. If you look at the biological structure of the human body, when a mother has a baby, she lets off basically an opiate, which is like heroin, right? A natural opiate, which is what they call the bonding chemical, which bonds the mother to the baby and the baby to the mother. But that chemical is also released in sexual intimacy. And it has now been proven as a fact that the more sexual partners a person has, the less ability that they have to bond. It's a bit like getting a bit of sticky tape. First time it goes on, it sticks on really good. You rip it off, put it back on, rip it off, put it back on, soon it doesn't stick. That's what sex does if we do it badly. Could you imagine, you know, if you just did it the way God said, how amazing and impacting it would be, and real. The thing is, God developed sex to be an amazing thing, a beautiful thing, to be out of this world thing, right? When you do it his way. When we short-circuit it, we rob ourselves of that joy. They say that some people will never really realise the true potential of sexual intimacy because of their behaviour. And that's science. That's not Christianity. That's science saying that. You just Google it on the internet and it'll tell you all about it. But that's what happens when we rob ourselves of that joy. And so when we date one another, we should be looking and waiting, because waiting develops trust, respect and commitment. And I've just got a couple of things that I've heard in the past, but we're in love and it seems so natural. Of course you're in love. Of course it seems so natural. But the problem is, God says love is patient, is kind, doesn't envy, doesn't hurt. Also I've heard, but we're getting married anyway. But the problem is, if we can't control our sexual temptations before we're married, who says we're going to be able to maintain our sexual temptation once we're married? It's a testing ground for us to show each other that we're committed to one another, that I'm going to sacrifice my life for you and my natural desires because I love you. I'm not going to envy it. I'm not going to want it. I'm going to protect you because I honour you. One of the sayings I say to the boys is she worth the wait? Right? I've never met a couple yet who waited, who regretted it. But I've met a heap that didn't wait, who now regret it. You know what I mean? And I get these people to text me after they've been married, and I say, was I right or wrong? And they say, yeah, you were right, Pete. So it's awesome. No, no, it's true. It's good. It's good. It's too late. We're already there. See, the past is the past. And the thing is, if you're in a situation where you're dating and you have crossed that line, good thing about God is he's full of grace. And today can be a new day. Yeah. Today can be a day where purity comes back into your relationship. It's a day, and I've helped couples that have gone across the line, and I've asked them the same thing, is she worth the wait? Is he worth the wait? And they go, yes. So let's get accountability around your life. Let's look what the triggers are. Let's make sure that you're not alone and all that sort of stuff, and we put those boundaries around them. And I say, in 10 months when you get married, you text me and say it was worth the wait for that 10 months. And when they just say, Pete, you were so right. It was just brilliant. You are fantastic. You know? And that's the thing is, with God, we can start today. Today is a new day for all of us.
That's it.
And how do I know that? Because in John 8 verse 11 we read, and Jesus said to the woman caught in sexual sin, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. That is the passion of Christ. All he said, he didn't say continue in your sin. He said, you are forgiven, sin no more, and released her and empowered her to live the life that God had intended for her. It's not easy abstaining. You know, I found it really hard, but I had a wrong attitude. I had an attitude out of fear and out of religious legalism. But I look at my kids and I look at the people around that are raised up just loving Jesus, and it seems so much easier because they love Jesus more than anything else. And all I pray for my kids is that they find a man that loves Jesus more than them. And that's the prayer that all fathers and mothers should have over their kids. Is that that they find somebody who loves their God and loves Jesus more than their child. Because when you've got that, you've got the greatest foundation that God has given us. Have a vision for God and the purpose of dating. We have a destiny about our lives. And Satan wants to rob us. He wants to limit us. He wants to cheat us of that. And how he does it is he uses music, he uses there's the media out there, and it's trying to get us to just succumb to the way the world wants it to be. As we read, we are not to conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We're a counterculture, not a subculture of the world. We need to reflect to the world that standing for those values is the perfect way to go. It is the only way to go, and it is the blessed way to go. We need to show our kids, we need to show those about us that following Christ brings forth pure happiness. And when people do that, it's amazing. So today, in closing, as we just read that scripture again, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. Christ wants us to have our destiny fulfilled in him, so that we can change the world. And if every Christian did that, we could take the world in a week. You know what I mean? Two people, it's not hard, is it? Find two people that don't believe in God and save them. You know? But let's show the Christian world how it's done. Let's stand for purity. Let's stand for dating to be the platform of our destiny. And let's change the world that we live in as we pray. To Heavenly Father, we ask you to have your hand upon this congregation, Lord, and across your church as a whole, Lord, that in this time of conflict, in this time of just cheating our children's lives to succumb to the weaknesses of mankind, that you raise them up to stand for what is right, what is pure, and what is the will of God. That we ask you in your most holy name, dear Father, to bless them and to give them the courage to be of their all convictions, to just give them a revelation of who you are, to bless them mightily so that they can just stand for who you are.
Father, we just speak favor and blessing over this congregation, mighty Jesus. There is such an impartation of how to do relationship, mighty Lord. How to do relationship, how to empower each other. Mighty Lord, that you just speak to them right now, mighty Lord. That there is blessing and favor over all the generations that will come from this congregation, mighty Father. Thank you, Jesus.
We'll have a time of prayer afterwards for anybody who wants to just make a commitment to be pure, whether that's because you failed or because you just want to continue, but because I think it is something that we need to stand for as we reflect Christ to our world.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.